But I just simply told her, I said, sugar, look at the bright side. I mean, we'll probably be enslaved by our sentient AI robots long before we're ever, you know, forced to involuntarily be chipped to go pay for groceries. So we got that going for us, which is nice. So what's up, people? What's happening? You're not going to believe this. I had actually recorded an entire podcast the day before, before all the rain and stuff like that, like I was thinking, well, why not make like one last January hurrah, you know? I mean, the 1 month that's like 47 days long, you know, and it's just one big kind of vast, you know, void of nothingness, the month of January, in my opinion, right? But and it was a good podcast. I mean, I was just yapping about primarily sports related stuff, just the Olympic trials coming up this Saturday. And but also just the fact that we're spoiled. It was like 70 degrees, you know, the day before, and in January. Now that it's officially February, then it's taken on a whole new, I don't know. I think each month should be each year there should be a mulligan, like take a mulligan, like in golf, you know, like, that was a shitty month. Just scrap it. Just get rid of it. Didn't exist. Didn't happen. Or conjure up some legislation that says, you know, January doesn't exist anymore, right? And take the month of June while you're at it. Like, that's useless, but so some things kind of transpired. Here we are. I'm sitting in the rain now. So if you hear the rain, then just, I don't know. You could also use the podcast as like an ASMR, right? Just the calm coolness of the rain. So relaxing. but everything was cool. Everything was recorded. Everything was in the can. About 40 minutes of nonsense, right? 40 minutes of some mind-numbing rant, but then my lady got she stumbled across the piece of news that Neuralink, the first person to be have that chip implanted in their brain, but she got wind of that and it was just fucking, it's all over. She's like, oh, jeez. Sign of the beast. I'm like, all right. Hold on. Slow down now. Calm down. I don't necessarily, we're pretty opposite. You know, she's kind of fire and brimstone. I'm not going to go into the whole litany of, you know, our belief systems, but I'm not. You know, I believe like science is here to help us with ailments and prosthetic legs and metal hips and plates in your head. They've been putting plates in people's heads since, I don't know what, the 50s? After the war or whatever. So there's a benefit to me, in my opinion. It seems as though we can benefit. This is what I look at this as a procedural situation for the benefit of mankind. This Neuralink chip is I told her there, like, if you go on YouTube now, you can watch a monkey play Pong with his mind. She's like, oh, sign of the beast. Oh, Jesus. And but I'm thinking to myself, too, at the same time, like, she has a disabled son. Now, what if this were, what if this was something that eradicated his ailment, his affliction? And I think I kind of know the answer, because the religious types are pretty, I would still want you to give me chemo, even if I converted to Christianity, and I was kind of circling the drain. Like, you can give me all the prayers you want, but don't stop the chemo, please. You know, but there's some hardcore hardliners out there, and it's like, the Bible says that you will, you know, to buy groceries and feed your family, you'll have to have a symbol that stamped on you or barcoded on you or chipped. And I'm like, so what are you saying? Like, all these people with hip replacements are just, they're all going to hell? Like, that sucks. But it's cool. Like, I'm cool. It's cool. Like, that to me is what, that to me is what keeps me sharp, right? Like, iron sharpens iron. And the frank fact is that, to me, I think that it's good to have a bit of an adversarial type relationship in a marriage, or if you're living with a woman, if you're your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. Shit. You know, the arranged marriages in India are, like, percentage-wise a little more successful than the actual, like, marriages. Like, my point is that, like, I guess, why do you want an echo chamber in your relationship? Like, why do you want someone that just kind of confirms everything that you say, right? And vice versa. Like, I don't need a polarizing opposite. I don't need a direct adversary, but I like somebody that's going to test my theory, and I want somebody that, and I'm going to test their theory, right? So I'm not, again, I've always said this, go practice whatever you feel like practicing religious wise. If you're Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, whatever. Miscellaneous. I don't know. I don't give a fuck. If you want to go worship a friggin' fire hydrant, have at it, brother. I like it. I like wacky shit. You know? But I think it's a tad dismissive. And again, it's not like I'm drawing any line in the sand here. Like, I mean, I'm a fan of Elon Musk, but I don't buy every, you know, like, I'm not giving him a complete pass with everything. I just think that he's a different breed, right? He's kind of He's the fun billionaire we kind of needed. Everybody gives him flack, you know, from the beginning, like, from the very beginning, like, all the space people, the Neil Armstrongs and the naysayers, and then the automotive industry and all the big three, you know, Ford, GM, Chevy, are all, you know, crapping on him. But, geez, he's only turned his car company into the most valuable company in the world, or the most valuable car company. I mean, he's doubled the value of the top three combined. But let me reel that in. Okay, so here's where I messed up. Probably, I don't know. So I'm listening to a bunch of these books on tape. Right. All right. On Fridays, I'm always kind of like on long drives, hour and a half stretches at a time. So I'm listening to these books. I'm listening to two books simultaneously. And I'm halfway through speaking of Elon Musk, one of his favorite books, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I'd read a long time ago. I think I found a copy of it like when I was riding my thumb through the UK. And it's not a long book, and it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek, funny book. So I'm halfway through that again, just listening to it this time. And then I'm also listening to Fight Club, which is pretty loyal to the movie. It's fairly loyal to the movie. It's just diced up in different sequences. The only difference is instead of Marla Singer saying in the one scene, "I haven't been fucked like that since grade school," the actual line in the book is, "I wanted to have Tyler's abortion," and so evidently they wouldn't allow that in the movie version. The censors wouldn't allow the line, "I wanted to have Tyler's abortion," so David Fincher switched it to, "I haven't been fucked like that since grade school," and even that was a rough one. But David Fincher was putting his foot down. He said, "No, that line stays." Great line, though. Fucking great line. That's fucking dark, man. It's a dark movie, though. It's a dark book. Everything's dark. Dark, dark, dark. And they're all in encounter groups. And my lady's in, she's putting herself through her encounter group. And I get it. There's the need for faith. And, like, she has a lot of faith. She's very faithful. She's very faithful to her religion. All right. But in the book, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the proof of the existence of God is dispelled by a fish, a little tiny fish that's put in the ear of the main character, that the fish then allows the main character to interpret the language that the aliens are talking to him in. And so by that bit of information, it's then put forth by Douglas Adams, the author, that God is based on faith, but proof of the existence of God is in this fish. God, there's only this fish, which is a made up fish. It's got a name. I can't remember the name of the fish in the book, but it's a little tiny fish they put in the ear, and then it's basically like a Rosetta Stone of fish, where it like translates what, as you're being told, you know, like if the aliens are talking to you, you can decipher their language. It's as if you're hearing them speak to you in English. So the fact that a fish like that exists in the book is proof that God exists, but God says that he only exists because of people's faith in him. Without their faith, he doesn't feel like he would exist. But now that there is proof that a God exists, then faith is not in the equation anymore, and henceforth God doesn't exist anymore. Does that make sense? And so it's kind of a weird series of events, right? So like so just the mere proof that this fish exists proves that God exists. But the fact that God exists means you don't need the faith, but God can't exist without faith, I guess is a better summation in a nutshell. Like, that's it in a nutshell, you know? And again, this is me in a nutshell. Help! I'm in this giant nutshell. How did I get in this oversized nutshell? I'm trapped. But anyway, despite the flimsiness of such an example, it does make for a good little critical thinking argument, all right? Because that's, I think, what we're missing in today's day and age is critical thinking. Not arguing, not like going out and I'm going to go out and find my own evidence. I'm going to go out and do my own research on YouTube. But no, critical thinking, like extracting the useless part of the argument, right? And but what's he? But it is a funny book. And it seems apropos for me to listen to that whilst Neuralink just chipped the first human. And then the notion that I'm going to kind of just flap my gums about not wanting to be in an echo chamber with your spouse. Which is perfect for the book Fight Club. All right. Jesus Christ. But the funny part, though, is the funny part of the book, I think the penultimate part of the book that stood out for me that I did remember was where they ask, okay, so the supercomputer in the book, according to in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, 42 is the number from which all meaning can be derived, the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. They ask the supercomputer, and they ask, what is the meaning of life, right? And and the answer is 42. So the supercomputer Deep Thought reveals that the answer to the great question of life, the universe, and everything is 42. It took him 7.5 million years to calculate the answer to the ultimate question. So, the problem is, what they determine, if I remember right, because I'm not up to that part, is they ask, it's the wrong, really the wrong question. They ask it the wrong question. So if they're trying to find the true meaning of life, then you got to ask it the right question. This particular question was, or the answer rather, was 42. Hey, you got that? So, if you want to know the meaning of life, the answer is 42.
But moving on, so...
Yeah, it's... but I okay, so it gets a little tense sometimes around the house, right? She's like, you don't believe her. You're a non-believer. And I'm kind of a non-believer. I mean, I believe there's a dude named Jesus that did live, you know, somewhere in the Middle East. He's not a white guy with blue eyes. I know that. And, but it's all, it's, but I, for the Bible to be the explanation for the creation of everything, and just to hang my hat on that, is really, I can't, So, but I like it. My lady keeps me on my toes, testing out my bullshit watertight theories, or the watertightness, or the soundness of my which I'm not really purporting anything. So her thing is, like, End of Time says that we'll all have to get chipped or something, or barcoded or something, for simply just to do the most basic things, feed your family, buy groceries. My take on that is that, just look at the way the pandemic unfolded, you know? There was such a distrust of government, because things are different now. Like back 1918, it was probably more accepted during the Spanish flu. But now it's like, you know, this is after JFK. This is after the Gulf of Tonkin. Like, we don't trust the government. Why would you trust the government? And the only one that could mandate that, a chip like that, would be the government. So, do you really think there's going to be a rollout that the government is going to successfully chip people just so they can buy groceries? I was telling her the last night, actually, that, you know, these far-right Christian wackos that run these militias, you know, in Idaho and Montana and Wyoming, you think these guys are going to let the government chip them? Hell no. No, they're not going. No. Especially after a pandemic. Like the pandemic, in my opinion, it turns out it was a good little kind of, it set the tone. It set the table for this situation, right? So Neuralink to me doesn't scare me. Matter of fact, you have to purchase it. Matter of fact, it's very expensive. Matter of fact, it's not involuntary. Like you have to spend a lot, like it's not for everybody. And essentially, it's really just for spinal cord paralysis victims and nerve damage and things like that. But supposedly we can be telepathic too, which is cool. I didn't want to spring that one on. I'm like, girl, don't you want to read people's minds? She's like, oh, sign of the beast. No. Calm down. It's all good. But, so she does get a little frazzled, but I think maybe she did, I don't know. Like, why would I want, I don't know. I don't need somebody to just kind of go, you know, when I purport my half-baked theories for somebody to go, that's right. Uh-huh. Amen. That's the way it should be. That's the way I believe. He said it. I believe it. Like, I don't need an echo chamber. I don't need a fan base. I don't need confirmation of what I just said. It is cool to have, it's cool to be, stress tested, pressure tested, right? Let's test out these theories. Let's see what happens. Eventually the rollout's going to, I mean, history will bear out Neuralink, you know, it's going to be a game changer one way or another, right? But it seems to be successful right now. I don't know if it's something we'll ever have to, you know, hopefully won't have to deal with in our lifetime. I mean, unless, I don't know. I don't want any spinal cord injuries. I don't want any nerve damage. I would like to read people's minds, but I'm not going to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to do it until it gets to a point where it is more accessible and 95% of the population has it at that point while it's still voluntary, because if they're reading my mind, I better be able to read their fucking mind, you know? But So I had a whole other, I'm not even making that. I had a whole other podcast I was going to talk about. This Saturday, they're running the Olympic Trials Marathon for the men's team, of course. And I think the top seeds, the top three seeds are Connor Mance, Clayton Young, both of BYU, formerly of BYU, but still presently Mormon. what's his name? Galen Rupp's shooting for his fifth Olympic team. Like, that's fucking insane. Like, five. Like, I don't know how, there's not a lot of people, like, that's kind of an interesting deal. I know some guys. That have gone to four Olympics. I want to say Edwin Moses. Holy shit. Exact number of Olympic appearances. What? List of most. Who has competed in the most Olympic events? List of athletes with the most appearances at the Olympic Games. Let's see. Well, stuff like, okay, now I got to kind of eliminate, like, Latvian shooters, right? Because they're going to do that anyway. God, it says, what? There's one guy's had 10 Olympic appearances? Get the fuck out of here. But this is from 1896 to 20. Yeah, it's from 18. Yeah, okay. Jesus. There's been 457 men that have been in 5 Olympics? Jesus Christ, man. And 193 women? Okay, all right. I guess it's not that hard. Sorry. Sorry about it, Grandpa. But, I mean, look, it's like they're fencers, Danish sailors. There's a guy, Bahamian sailor, Durward Knowles, has been in 8 Olympics. Like, that doesn't, like, bro, you just, you know. Let's see. 2 5-time Olympians competed under 4 different flags at the Olympics. What? Oh, God. Now I've gone down a rabbit hole. 26 5-time Olympians have won at least 8 medals. So you got Michael Phelps. Yeah, he's 5 times. Norwegian cross-country skier. Okay. Norwegian biathlete. Italian fencer. Blah, blah, blah. American swimmer Dara Torres. Okay, that's something. Italian cross country. See, they're skiers, they're skaters, they're skiers. Like, I mean, fencers. Okay, I guess my point is, okay, running is very hard to do because you're at your peak in your 20s, right? And you've only got really 10 years of in your 20s, right? 9 years, really. So what the fuck? That's 2 Olympics, okay? That's hard to do. But, so Henry Marsh was in 4, I think. He was in 76, 80, 84, 88. Edwin Moses, I think, was the same. 76, he won in 76. Should have won in 80, but we boycotted it in Moscow. He won 84, and he was, third in 88. First time he ever lost. Or snapped his win streak, rather, in 88. He had, like, some crazy, like, 58. Straight races where he didn't lose, and then he got third in the 88 finals to Andre Phillips and who's second, some weird I don't know, I can't remember. Yeah, that was wild. Let's see, athletes with at least 5 Olympic appearances, get the fuck out of here. Let's see. $5. There's a lot of people at 5, but they're all skiers and shooters. Like, you know, snow preserve shit, right? Anyway, but so Saturday is the Olympic trials, and I'm putting my money on Connor Mance. He doesn't have the fastest PR in the field, but I would have to give him the favorite. Galen Rupp's got a faster PR by about a minute, a little over a minute and a half, but he's just older. He's got a lot more miles on him. But I think those are the 3 guys. Clayton Young, who's a 208 marathoner, 208 even. And then, Connor Mance is a 146 800 meter runner. I just discovered, like, what the fuck, man? And a 352 miler. Like, that's some serious, diversity. That's some fucking, that's some skill, man. Like, that's what it takes now, though. I mean, it's different. Things are different now. Back in the day, you could get away with being like a 410 miler, but a 209, marathoner. Things have changed, you know, like Holly Hunter said in Raising Arizona. Things have changed. And, but it's going to be run in Orlando. I think only 2 Americans have gotten under the Olympic qualifying time, too, which is like 208.10, I think. Like, just to compete in the Olympics, you got to run that fast. And right now we've only got two guys that are under the standard. Fucking Jesus Cristo. You know what I'm saying? But, and they're both Mormons. I love the Mormons. God damn, I love Mormons. There's something about Mormons, though, that they're hardcore competitors, man. They had some moments back in the 80s, too. I mean, with Henry Marsh, Doug Padilla, Ed Eystone, Paul Cummings. They're all, aside from, I think Paul Cummings might be the one exception, but most of these guys are, they're Nike guys, too. And it dawned on me the other day, and I'm thinking about this, like, how come these guys all wear Nike? Does Nike, what's the connection, you know? Because back in the 80s, it was like, the premier track club was Athletics West, which was the Nike club. They were called Athletics West. So Henry Marsh, Doug Padilla, Jim Spivey, Pat Porter, they were all Athletics West guys. Not all more Mormon. I don't know what, but most Mormons wear Nikes. I don't know what, did Nike, what's, are there, is there, are, is there something about, is there less caffeine in Nike? I don't know. It's fascinating, though. It is interesting. But the other thing is what was the other thing I was yapping about? Just yapping about bullshit. Just historically, like football. You know, again, we just kind of put January in our rearview mirror. And it's over. It's over, Johnny. Nothing is over. It's over, Johnny. Nothing is over. No, it's just that, it's that dreary, gray, languid, vapid nothingness of a month. Again, they should really strike up some legislation. Just eradicate it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Like the 1 cent, like a penny. Get rid of the penny. There's got to be a politician with balls out there that got the balls to get rid of the penny in the month of January, right? But just to recap what I had said in the podcast that I recorded prior to this, before I had an epiphany on the treadmill this morning, as I was thinking about that OK song, that OK Go song. Just when you think you're down a hole, just when you think you're on a roll, just when you get on a roll, well, here it goes, here it goes, here it goes again. Nah, here it goes again. I should have known, I should have known, I should have known. Now here it goes again. You know that video where they're all on treadmills? They're just like, they're choreographing. It's just a brilliant video. It's the treadmills are choreographed into the whole thing. Anyway, moving on. I was so, but I had this epiphany this morning that, you need somebody that's just going to pressure test your bullshit, right? Not call you out on it, but just test it, right? And that's my theory. I could be wrong. I usually am. Right, but why do you want to be with a sounding... hold on, stop. In regard to football, I should save this for the next episode, but I'm not. I'm just gonna throw it out on the table, all of it, right now. Throw it right out on the table. Speaking of duality, there had been, I wanted the Lions to beat the Niners. And so Jared Goff is one of only, I think, five other quarterbacks to lead their team to either an NFC championship, AFC championships, and or the Super Bowl, right? So Jared Goff, of course, would be Detroit and then the LA Rams when they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. This is a weird bit of trivia, but it plays with my theme of duality and being with somebody that, you know, is opposite of you. But the other being, and I'd forgotten, but I think I mentioned this in the last podcast though, but Brett Favre being another with the Vikings and the Packers, same division, really weird. And then Joe Montana with the Chiefs, Niners, Peyton Manning with the Broncos, and the Colts, Tom Brady with the Buccaneers and the Patriots, and finally, did I say Kurt Warner already? No, yeah, Kurt Warner. I forgot about Kurt Warner. I think that's who I left out of the when I was talking about this shit in the last podcast. Kurt Warner, fucking legend. That I can't believe the guy's already, you know, it seemed like he was only in the league for like 4 years. But he won a Super Bowl. He played in three. Lost two of them. But yeah, with the Cardinals and the Rams. Legend. I ran into him in San Francisco right before the Broncos-Panthers Super Bowl when he just started working in the booth. But yeah, so what is that? It's Goff, Warner, Favre, then Montana, Manning, and Brady. Yeah, it's six. Only six. Is that right? So six guys have led their... It's pretty impressive. Two different teams. Duality, plurality, bipolarity, tripolarity. You name it. It's floating out. It's floating around out there. We're gonna slap a chip on it though, and we're gonna harness that energy. You know, we're gonna create things. We're gonna create fireballs with our minds. You understand? You know what I'm saying? It's like Firestarter. It's like a Drew Barrymore movie. You know what I'm saying? All right. I think I got everything. I think I got all the bullet points out. I had to exercise those demons. Just get them out. Get them off my chest. You know. Actually, I'm glad I recorded over the last podcast, because it was just really just a long droning on of just, you know, but just spinning bullshit. All right, that's it. That's all I got. I got nothing else. All right, you dirty beggars. Leave me alone. All right. But that's what I got, and I'm sticking with it. So... give your spouse a kiss and tell him I said hey, and don't just go along with whatever they say. Alright? Test that shit. Poke at it. Call them out on their bullshit. Alright, that's enough. Shut up, John. No more. I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, baby.